This morning we shall turn to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Now read verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Here are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to Apostle John. And by these words, I want us to think about Jesus, the bright and morning star. Jesus, the bright and morning star. They can say, somehow I can. Aye, somewhere Yesu Kristo no a yidi chere Apostle John na enumu na ya chere chere say Yesu Kristo o ye anstromo a anopansromo a chere na no na pese no kwi adwendwe ho ne hu de fa Yesu de chere say Yesu to ye anstromo a no chere ese anstromo ni a Apostle Paul wrote down this revelation of this book for the immediate seven churches as we have in chapter 1 verse 4, the seven churches, and from chapter 2 to chapter 3 where they were addressed. And a church in Ephesus then, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Churches in all these places. The letter was addressed to them, but eventually to all Christian churches of all ages. This message of Christ is to all of us, and we are to learn it, we have to examine it for ourselves and draw comfort from it, as all scripture is given for that purpose. The here can say, Apostle John, or Yesu Kristo, a dynasty, a detrenoma, and sorry, I never walk and grow a son, also a Christos, and this man, a Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and a Laodicea. And who know what kind chapter Revelation chapter 1 verse 4 showing seven churches when chapter 2 to verse 3 showing information in some more John the Catcherum when you can say among the demand sorry but original home and sorry Christo ne sorry via a beba ewo emrebia as he bewo hobia. So these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to Apostle John. And our text, as we have it in chapter 22, verse 16, forms part of this great revelation to the apostle. Sir, yes, and for one who are. Yet, when you are not paid, say, Christo, no, yet, and so on, and upon so on, and so on, so on, so on, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, By this word, the Lord gave two descriptions of himself. The verse, I mean, as we read the verse, says that I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto these things in the churches. The first description, I am the root and the offspring of David. And this shows the definite lineage of his human nature. Description of Jesus to the man who said, "Ofi David has seen or by no extra mismatch or by we are so before any pursuit at the share or obey any power that is from Brahma House and Yakupon." And the word in the root and the offspring of David shows that he came from a nation, a tribe, and a family of David. David was an Israelite, was of the tribe of Judah, and he was of the family of Jesse. And if you go to the Bible, you can trace him. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, he came to the land of Israel from the tribe of Judah and from the family of David, the royal family in Israel then. So this shows that he had a definite or he had ancestry according to the flesh, according to his human nature. Say, all kinds of meaning. David, Ofi David Mubaye, a trusted based on where we are seeing, Oba, Befani Pesu, Betna, was a Sisu, and maybe Abitrim Kon. And on a trend based on Oba or in Pesu, no Yanko Ponzo Ankasa. And again, he also described himself as the bright and morning star. He said that I am the bright and the morning star. Generally, when whenever the morning star appears in the skies, it indicates that there's going to be a coming day. Those who observe the sky and those who see, who look into the sky, at the dawn, before the day breaks, the morning star that comes shows that soon the day is going to come. And whatever in the night the troubles have been, there's going to be a day. So this also indicates Jesus, saying of himself, describing himself as the bright and the morning star, indicates his second advent, which will also usher in the beginning of the eternal day and his everlasting kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ had come before in the flesh. He has gone up to heaven before he gave this revelation to John. And he described himself as the bright and the morning star, indicate that his coming, the day he will appear in the sky, will usher in the day of everlasting righteousness, everlasting kingdom, the kingdom that will be forever, that kingdom that will not be taken away, and that kingdom which is not human kingdom, but that kingdom which comes from heaven for his people. The day of his appearing, the day we see him in the sky, that will be the day that kingdom will begin. And that kingdom, as I said, it surpasses all kingdoms in beauty, perfection, and excellence. Nothing can be compared to the kingdom of Christ. Now, Christ's kingdom is on this earth. It's in the heart of his people. Those who he has saved and washed by his own blood, where he has put them under his care, and that they love him, he also loved them, and they are his church on earth. But this kingdom is in the heart of men now. And that one day the substantive one will come, where all those who are in his kingdom will join and live with him forever. The And in verse 17, there's an invitation to people to come to the Savior. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will come, let him take the water of life freely. As now, the kingdom, as I said, is in the heart of believers. And he's still putting it into the heart of many. Those who hear him, those who hear his gospel and turn from sin, and come to him to ask for forgiveness of sin, they are brought into his kingdom spiritually. They are saved. Christ comes to live in their hearts. They become part of his people. And then they live on this world. So those who come to Christ, those who hear that Christ will come one day, and that his kingdom is going to be glorious, and it's going to be eternal, and that who have the desire to know that, yes, flesh and blood cannot inherit this kingdom, and also sinners cannot inherit this kingdom, and see themselves as sinners, and come to him so that their sins will be forgiven them, and his righteousness will be given them, so that they will be able to have his life in them. Such people are those who are waiting for his return. And this invitation calls people to come to take this. Except we have the righteousness of Christ, which is given to us freely. The better, let him take the water of life, the blessings of salvation. Let him come and take to become righteous before God, to become holy before God, and to become a child of God. He said, come and take. It's in the hands of Christ. It's in the message that you are a sinner. Come and believe that he died on the cross. Come, repent, and believe on this. pleading for his mercy, this is where you come and receive this water of life freely to yourself. In Isaiah chapter 55, say, oh, that thirster, come and taste of this water. So you see, the kingdom is going to come one day, but men today are being called into this kingdom. Or describe one also here the bright in the morning, the agents in Ahindia Baba, Dobe Pino, Ahindia, no, but they do know. And then in the yard, or 20% Nipa and the Embra. But say, Nipa Embra, Omoa, and who so may I devon here for, Omoa, who said, Omuni train the yard, Sahindia, because Ahindia no, and train the yard, Ahindia, Boninho, who finiho. And see what who said, ah, before a buffy me at Boyeni, Nemo. This was a bew or Calvary, Shinu, which they were no penny bet me at me one, I'm going to be very civil. Now I'm called my post, I said, right, if I want to tell me, the many are being sacred, and I'm being hot on the sun. Or the sign, not to me, mommy. Now maybe a year will be a hot seal, and I hope when him, now maybe I'll be a mechanic call for him. Now, with you see, we can't start the night, Hindi and River. In America's offload, we be asked, we are there, and we'll see whosoever will let him take the water of life with him. Near or maybe an umbrella number faster. Adumusu and Suya, a year quite yensu. Now, on now, because I read chapter 55 was a brave moment of war. It's commonly well, commonly brave to our own critical. We don't buy salvation with money, we buy with faith. We come when we come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and rest our hope of forgiveness, our hope of life, our hope of having any acceptance with God on what Christ has done. We don't come thinking of our own righteousness. So that is it. And that's the bright and the morning star. So that the day was going to come. But the day we are invited to come and take access to that kingdom. Now, how we hear the gospel. Sir, I hear the Ebeba Dachi. Nemo, and then the Etias, you know, Christo Nala, Eto, and Sadi Freya, and say, Embra, you meet in this empire. Ebeba, you know, Etia, or the Ebeka, you go for. What we can at least in the first place get from this expression by Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the same expression also implies how the revelations of Jesus outshines all knowledge. What do we say by revelation of Jesus? The truth about Jesus Christ himself and the truth he came to teach us concerning himself and the and God and God's ways and how God deals with us. Every portion of this knowledge outshines every knowledge in this world. So we have this implication also from this. Because the bright and the morning star outshines all stars. It's not just the morning star, the bright and the morning star. This truth about the Savior, and this truth as he gave to his apostle writes in this Bible for us, why he even gave some of the revelation to Apostle John, when you go into it, all the wisdom in it outshines all the wisdom of this world. It is high, it is glorious, it excels all. Why do we say so? Because the revelation of himself to the world is the only light that leads sinners to God. Tell me, whichever knowledge you have in this world that can lead you to God without Christ and what he tells us in the word of God. There's no knowledge. Nothing that you learn can lead you to God except what Christ came to tell us about himself and the Father. But say, and we are saying, my day now, but to me, I see, but to me, I show me some of my book on TV. Anyhow, say, Christo, your Baba, and your tray, a pen, a bema, and my at the boy of what you mean, a pine court, and a book on TV. And also, it is the only way which shows how sinners can obtain righteousness by faith. Christo, in seven, on one, you know, and make sure, and open it, a chef on your boy of what you mean, and train a yard, and I'm Jesus. Why do we say this? Because all the religions in the world, they don't have righteousness by faith. They have righteousness by doing something. But it is Christ alone who came to show us that by believing on him, resting our hopes on his work on the cross of Calvary, we will obtain a good standing with God. God will be at peace with us. And our God will deal with us as his people. And he will embrace us. He will put us into his family. There's nowhere you can find this truth except when Christ came to teach us in His word. So, nimdia ewo Christo di obekshe yen se onu pe se nam ni church so pe na ebetumi hu se ebetumi nyatene ye nam Jesus. If you say asumwa kenya no se ka so obekshe ne ya e che o ye sei menye sei fa sei fa na fa we kan we hu eno anya si nipa e ba san yo ma na faction ye ngwe nipa. So nipa san yo ma na nya mi akopo ni no di boye ni. Then when Christo pen us all the real to me so send me who are Calvary and we should move the guy no. Let me warm up. Let me show you the guy ma. Now buy a hope share the Munadu did it to me so way in the Mawinya sat and the feet and coupon. So there's no knowledge most glorious and great as the knowledge of the triune God manifested in Jesus Christ. Yes, in him JPN home one a year one and I have so seen Nimdia. A fat Yankupon, Basaprono, our Dan who is Jesus Christ. Yankupon, or Dan who is Jesus Christ, our Jesus Christ, we are saying Yankupon, some of the five in the past. San Indivi, no more, so say San Indivi. If it's all by and more, or bear, or Yankupon of a five in the past two rows, or Bass are seasonal, and behind the bar we are seeing, when they assume a do we are seeing. In 2 Corinthians 4 verses, we read, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is to believers. Those who have known the Lord Jesus Christ, God has shined forth His light in our unbelief, in our ignorance about Him. How we don't, we hear His word, it doesn't move us. We don't have the edge and delight to obey. When we come to know this light in Christ, this darkness taken away, this coldness taken away, and now we are now have a delight to know God, because He has given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Who God really is, the knowledge of who God really is shown to us by what Christ has come to tell us in His gospel, in the gospels we learn about Him. So the more we learn of Christ, the more we know of God. As He told Thomas, that I've been so much for long. Thomas asked him, show us the Father. He said, I've been so long with you when you don't know the Father. If you have known me, you have known Him. If we know Christ, we know God. That is how it is. So the knowledge of God, which is in Christ Jesus, outshines all knowledge ever in this world. And nothing is so profitable than this. Remember, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Apostle Paul tells us this knowledge that he obtained is far above every knowledge and everything you can call precious or expensive or wealthy in this world. And it is to every believer. He says that, but four things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This is what I was saying, and this is the sentiment, the mind and the desire of every believer, that let me lose everything in this world, but let me have Christ, and let me know that He is my Savior, and let me know that He has died for me, and that I have the blessings of His death on the cross to make me desire holy life, to make me to hate sin, to make me always want to obey Him. This is far above than anything. So let me know that God is my Heavenly Father, and that one day when this life passes over, He shall receive me to His kingdom. It's far above everything. Let me ask you, whatever you have in this world, when you come to die, and the question is, who received me after death? Nothing in this world can answer except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the life we lived in Him. That will assure you that I live for Christ. My faith is in Him. And there, He is there to welcome me. Other than that, who will welcome you? When you come to die, who will welcome you? Who meets you over there? Who meets you? You have no hope. But this hope, I was supposed to say what? It's far. For the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Is Christ your Lord? Do you desire to know Him? Do you have His knowledge? Is he the one that you desire above anything in this world? This is what believers desire. So any person ignorant of the manifestation of the saving knowledge in Christ is in darkness, which will lead to eternal damnation. Whatever religion you possess, whatever good intention you possess in this world, if you don't have the saving knowledge in Christ, that you are really in Him, that you've trusted in Him, you've repented of sins, and your life is hid in Him, and you have the assurance because you live and obey His command, anything you do will send you to doom at the end of the day. It will not wash before God. All achievements in this life are lost if you are ignorant of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Savior, if you have not repented of sin and come to trust in Him, looking upon His cross and resting your hope on His suffering on the cross, His blood He shed, His body He gave on the cross, trusting yourself in Him, and He receiving you, giving His righteousness, and affirming in your heart a sanctified desire to live, to know God, and to please Him. If these things are not there, there's no hope. There's no salvation. Because salvation in Christ is not a passive thing. Yes, His initial is a passive, but the work He did is out of sight, which the righteousness we receive out of sight. But then, when we receive it, it works in us to show that we have His righteousness. So to have a perfect knowledge of Jesus is to see Him always as God who was manifested in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity. If you take this one from Christ, you don't know Christ. Unless you know Him that He is the second person of the Trinity, the triune God, He's the God, the Son, equal with the Father, equal with the Spirit. And yet distinct, each person, they are all equal. I mean, that's the Godhead. If you don't know Him as such, that He was God who was all glorious, who came to take human nature, anything you take from Christ, if you take this thing from Christ, even anything you know about Him, it will not wash, because it will not bring you salvation. So those who think that Christ is wonderful, is whatever, but He's less than God, they can never have a Savior. It's the only one who says Jesus Christ. Omo who says Christ, or any other one, and some other we are never found in person. Now, omo agi be brave and home. Omo to me who is that young one? Omo to me yam that young one? Because say we who say or any other one, or by we are say be found in person. You know, but did Juma ah so you have been for real minds? We who is that? Now so who say oh? Obey we ask no be a no to me near the obey we ask a care. Now obey the partners on your group one in Virgin Bia. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we are told about this mystery. Say that, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. Those who deny God coming in the Lord Jesus Christ, how can they prove it? God was manifest in the flesh. How? The Lord Jesus Christ, that's what the Bible tells us. Yankupon dan huedi or honemu. A crambell is not dan huedi, but dan huedi is Christ to me. But never by reality. So believe whatever you may by the Savior of the world. If it is not according to this truth, you have a different Savior and not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ alone by faith we seek forgiveness of sin, adoption into the family of God, to be part of His people, and sanctification by the Holy Spirit to be able to live a life that pleases God, and the chiefest of all, the eternal life, a life which beyond the grave will bring us eternal happiness, eternal joy, which will never end, which will live on without an end. Also, the Savior of the world is not the Jesus of prosperity preachers. Nowadays, people have different ideas. Yes, they'll say, yes, He came, He was God. He came to take human flesh. But then, the work He came to do, the blessing of His work, is something else. It's only for material blessings. So the Savior of the world is not. No, these people believe that He was God. He came to take human flesh. Yes, they believe that His work brought them different blessings apart from what the Bible teaches. If you must use the truth too, I know you have come over here as the far deeper. And so, I'm full said the human of by your covering. So, I'm fast one. So, am I also my reality in fast one? If we ask for no money, you're one fast one. They can't have it. Omuni from some prosperity preachers. Everything about Christ and whatever Christ said is business strategy, is worldly, knowledge, and is something about health and whatever, and all about this world. And this, their Jesus saved them only from financial, marriage problems, illnesses, travel difficulties, but such Savior don't save them from sin. Yeah, they'll say, oh yes, he saved from sin, but they don't mean it, because they don't care how even they live, and yet they say they are saved. No, this is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of prosperity preachers is not Jesus of the Bible. Well, Christ Jesus came to die for sin. And what he purchased for us on the cross of Calvary is not material blessings. I always tell people about, if you go to the Arab nations, they are rich, yet they are not Christians. Go to many billionaires and to whatever are rich. They are not Christians. If what Christ came to purchase for us on the cross of Calvary is material, then those people have better blessings than you and I. So you see, the Bible tells us what Christ came to. There are people who are fit. They overcome their illnesses, difficult, whatever. But they are not Christians. That's not what Christ came to purchase for us. Jesus of the Bible guides us to heavenly things. Chiefly things concerning our souls. Things that the human eye cannot understand. Cannot perceive. Without the help of God, we cannot see. Nor the human mind can understand. Science cannot search it out. Let those who learn, philosophers, they cannot search it out. Or let God have revealed it to them. These are the things Christ came to show us. So he even told us in Matthew 6:32-33, he said that, for after all these things to the Gentiles, things of this world, what we shall eat, what we shall wear, where we will sleep, the work we will do, this thing to the Gentiles, those who do not know God, this is what they are looking for. And here they claim, that's what Christ came to preach for. No, he said, I didn't come for this. For after this thing to the Gentiles, for your heavenly Father knoweth that he have need of these things. But you, if you want to know him, say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, according to what God desires you to have in this world. But then, seeking the kingdom of God, repenting of sin, having his righteousness, to know that Christ has purchased eternal righteousness, you put your faith in his death on the cross of Calvary. That is what is our duty concerning God. Apart from this, whatever we have in this world, it doesn't matter. This is for say, even who Christo, ni chenya, Yagupondi, Amaya, Nam, Yuso, Wuma, or Calvary, any here. Say we are simu nyoma de o mo nyimya ko kokwa obebre nti yesu so na wase sa nyoma de we are so pamana manim fo a o mo nyimya ko kon we no mo hwehwe. But you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Other things, if God will, he'll add them to you. Health, business, money, whatever, profit, gain, whatever. If he wish you to be in loss, to be poor, fine, whatever. He himself, he came as a poor person, came to giving birth in the manger, in the animal feeding trough. And yet, that did not take away who he was. So being a believer, in whatever condition you are, it doesn't take away who you are before God. The glory of God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is not material blessings, it's spiritual. To be able to overcome sin, to live a life that pleases God, to know God as your Father, to pray to him, and to have that joy that he gives to his children that the world doesn't know. This is what we receive from him. So as we continue to reflect, we have more time to reflect on our verse in Revelation 22, verse 16, the bright and the second portion, the bright and the morning star. So now, as we reflect further on Jesus as the bright and the morning star, let's go deeper about his life. We think of his incarnation. How does that become, how does that outshine or gives us deeper truth about God, his reincarnation? Before Jesus came into this world, there was so much ignorance about God and his dealings with man. Answer is Christ, but we ask him, Mesmi and Pupon, not quite here, Mesmo Nipa, Nisha or Manipano. Now, I dream of Kunsan, Nipa be brave and chassis. Even the Jews who had the Old Testament scriptures had many among them who were misled. Israel who were not walk to the Old Testament, you know. The scribes and their elders had magnified their own opinions and tradition about God's way. Yes, imagine if you go by, you know. One of the big problems of which I am, Yamia Samoa, Omoa, Nazar, or some church, Yamia Simono. So people at the end of the day were believing opinions. Yet the word of God was lying there. So people were so ignorant about how God deals with people. Even among the Israelites. That is why when Christ speaks, most people were against him. They said, why is he teaching different from our teachers? Yes, that's what Christ wanted them to know when he gave them the law to Moses. He wanted them to know his way of dealing with people. He gave them the law, which set the standard. He gave them the sacrifices, which give them access. When they have sinned, when they have disobeyed the law, before they come to him, they come with a sacrifice. And when they should have a right faith and trust in him, he will accept them. But these things were mixed up, became just ceremonial, and there was no profit to them. It was just, I brought my sheep, my goat, that is all. That the goat has taken away my sin, that is all. And the person's heart is against the law of God, he doesn't care about him. So even this people, the sacrificial system in types and shadows, which pointed to the mediatorial work of Christ, had also become just a form. That sacrificial system which God gave to them was to show them Christ, that God one day bring the Savior of the world to come and die where these things will be done away. So it was standing in for Christ, and which those who did it faithfully were really forgiven of their sin. But what happened to them? In Malachi, remember, Malachi told them, you bring deformed animals to sacrifice. You can give them to your governor. These people have just messed up the whole system. Why there were rules, how you offer, what you bring. And if you do it right, the right hand, God forgives you. But this we have gotten over. So the way of God to them, even today's life, to most of them, it was lost. There was so much ignorance. So that many who sacrifice, bring this goat and animals to the priest to sacrifice, were having no forgiveness of sin. They were compiling sin after sin. They can say, Impo, Israel, for Impo, Momomra, ah, Emra, Nakacho, Monakaipa. You know, sounds today, after a war, so be a bonnet, a farm ran away. They are one, a giant, and a tap on Jiba, not a soft one, a Kunodia, yeah, for a body, a man, the body, a chair. As I know, I'm going to see you home, need the whole Emma, copying race piece of paper. And the world, the giant, and I point to the barber, so and from the part of 1 year. What do we need when you turn your hook when you say, sir, on one I can, sir, for a boy, bra. Now, who a person or do one each other? Who has I do not know by now, can one or the one each other? And so, a do be measured for no. Or the appointed young member. Malachi, no Malachi was it. More than point you when you free fra. And in Yaya, among say, and found for here, and my uncle. Now, Uncle Mamu, a binding for some by here. You see, people were like, they were even abusing the only means of forgiveness. See how they were going astray. Apart from the tradition of the elders, which are giving up, remember when Jesus Christ came, they were accusing, why does he eat without washing of hands? Where in the law is it written that you have to wash before you eat? But they have made a portion of their law that just right, they have to wash your hands before you eat, else it's a sin. And Christ told them, sin is rather that it comes from the heart, not the physical dirtiness and all that. They have rather exchanged the spiritual to become physical. Elsewhere, they question him. And the disciples of John, they say, why do we fast and your disciples don't fast? Yet, their fasting, what they have put there, was not in the law. God has not instructed them to fast. And yet, they thought that why they fast more, then God is at peace. They will be righteous. See, so they have added so many things to the law, the ways of God. So it was crowded. And now people don't know their way. How they can approach God, how they can be right with God. It's not only Abraham, Frank, and Draft, and the Papa, Israel, Fokome, Israel, and the Papa, and the Papa, and the Papa, sir, when you're being a young woman, you're to move. It's not, it was simple. The law, simple, plain, and where the sacrifices also given. So that when people disobey, they can come to God and be accepted, they can worship Him. These things were gone. So in the Gentile world also, this was the Gentile world also, God was almost in everywhere you go, represented by an inanimate object of many created things. All apart from the nation, we've been there, even sometimes learn from the Gentiles. Everywhere there's any worship, it's about bowing down to images or putting things that reverse, plant, stand to represent God. That's what all that the Gentile world was after. And I'm sure all of us are from Ghana, so we know if we go to our traditional, if we go to our villages or traditional worshippers, that was, even today they do, representing God, their God with images. And that is how people thought God can be, they can seek the face of God. In the village, when there's a calamity, they go to the riverside to offer some sacrifices. They think that's how God has to be appeased. Ignorance was all over. The Jews and the Gentiles, the unbelief and ignorance about God was so great. But this was removed by the incarnation of Christ. And it was foretold by Prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2 to 3, we are told. Isaiah chapter 60. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Ignorance, unbelief, doubt. Ignorance about the knowledge of God shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. When Christ came, all the ignorance about God was taken up. He came to show the right knowledge about God, the right dealings God has to us. He came to bring this one to light. When even the Israelites have lost it, when the Gentiles have long, long, long way back have lost it. Look at old Simeon, one of the few devout Jews who were waiting for the incarnation of Christ, which was recorded in the book of Luke. Look at what he said when he saw the baby Jesus, when Mary and his father took him to the temple to present him. In Luke chapter 2, 30-32, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." A light to lighten the Gentiles. Meaning, by Jesus Christ's incarnation, people will be made aware of the truth about God, his laws, his law, and his plan of salvation. A light to guide our feet. Christ's incarnation, coming into this world, brought a new day. It was a day star. Because it ushered in the perfect knowledge about God, so that whoever will come and take of this knowledge. And by this knowledge alone, we can be able to deal with God, and God will be able to deal with us. Anything short of this knowledge that God revealed to us in the Gospels, we are short of God. Anything taken from it, we are short of God. So we see that. So, but we have a war, no, a bad, if I no crown, X-ray, say, a kung, ne, nimdi, or the bay, no, a kum, or nimdi, bia, a war, and we are seen. So the second thing also that we think of is words as a manifestation of life to the soul. What Christ said, what he taught, was a declaration of life to souls. In John 6:63, he said that it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. The words of Christ, if taken, if believed, they are life. And they are that we take it by what? Faith, trusting in it. They are not before he said it, he has told them that unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they were thinking, he was thinking of physical. He said, no, we meant that they should rather, their faith must be in him. That is the one whose body and blood be shed for the forgiveness of sin. And that their faith should be in him. And that by that we shall have forgiveness of sin. So Jesus was the same God who breathed life into the lifeless body of Adam in the beginning. Adam was just a clay made out of dust. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. So it is Jesus, the same with Jesus' invitation. So that when sinners, guilty, defiled, lost, ignorant of God, when we come and embrace this truth in him and believe in him, there's life imparted unto us. Life is given to us, to our lifeless soul. Without God, without this life, the words of Christ who give us life, we before God are lifeless. Our life are nothing. We don't have that spiritual life. So Christ's words bring life to the soul. Just on himself, a day, a high, a day, a day, we also think of his resurrection as a manifestation of life after death. His resurrection as a manifestation of life after death. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, we are told, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept." Why is he the first fruit of them that slept? Did Jesus Christ resurrected Lazarus from the dead? And that thing, But his is the first fruit. Why? Because he rose down from the dead, he never died again. Lazarus died again. He rose down from the dead, he is now seated in heaven forever. His resurrection is that which we shall have. We shall rise from the dead and never die again. And his manifest that there is going to be a day of resurrection of the dead. And before Christ came, even those great philosophers of Greece and Rome and whatever, they can conjecture about many things. But life after death, they were confused. They don't know what was going to happen. Well, many believe there will be life after death, but how, they don't know. Many sometimes the soul will extinct after death. Some the things, and even how, even that this body, when it is rotten, it is going to be risen up. That was no idea at all. Actually, the soul, they have some ideas. But when they talk about this body, when it will be dissolved in the dust, and that it will be brought back again, only Christ showed us that this body will come back from the dead. And so his resurrection is someone who shows that there's going to be a life after that. And it is that which also intimate that there will be a day of judgment, because when the wicked is resurrected from the dead, where will God place them? So the fourth thing we think of, the fourth and the last, is ascension. It's a manifestation that he will return one day. Even at the time of the apostles, you know, there were people who were thinking that Christ has come and gone. They were even in their churches. But what did the angel tell those disciples in Acts chapter 1, 9 to 11? He said that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The same Jesus Christ, we shall see him. He went up bodily. They saw him. So shall he come. So whoever will doubt that Christ will never come, he deceives himself. Whoever doubts that Christ has come and gone already, he is deceiving himself. Until that day we see him coming. Until that time we see him coming, then Christ has never returned. So his ascension to heaven shows that there's going to be a day he's going to come the same way. And that only his ascension tells us that. Nobody can tell us about it except his ascension alone. Though his return is a great source of consolation to believers in Christ, because at his return, all sufferings and sin will be done away. There will be no more suffering, pain, death. His return will usher in the eternal kingdom, which will be governed by righteousness and truth. There will be no lies, there will be no dishonesty, disappointment in the kingdom of Christ. There will be no desire anyone to cheat, no desire anyone to rob or oppress. There shall be perfect righteousness. Sin will be done away in the kingdom of Christ. But then, believers will have to see this, because we are assailed with temptations here and there every day. We have been attacked with our own besetting sins, and we are always crying the Lord to help us. But when Christ comes, this is going to end. Our life, which we live in this world, with even the physical troubles of life, of the body, and all the trouble, it will be end. It will come to an end. And all believers are looking out for that day. We never love to live long in this world. But then, it will also be a source of terror to sinners who will not repent. Sinners, that day, will be shaken, will be trembled. Because it will be the beginning of their eternal doom. At the point of Amra Christone, this is our best name, but I hear, and he did Dane, a registered man, a JD for no. A bear da, a bear the boy of so I am to share. A bear da, omu, behim, a bear da, omu, omu, person, sacral, mufi, omu, boni, mono. A bear da, boni, edia, momo. Because if you say, sad down, edi, yedi, oma, switch, yedi, oma, tim, bube, ba, ah, you make sure, make me a coupon, home crown forever. And a GPA man who talk, a man and EJ, a man from piano, a better way for you. So that people sometimes say, in hell, many people will be there. No, anything that will support life, anything that will give comfort to the soul, to the body, will be taken away. You imagine yourself being in distress in this world, being troubled with so many things, depressed, and look at how you are. And at least that will not last forever. a point something will happen and your situation will change. But think of being in that situation eternally. That's the bitter part of hell. Being in uncomfortable condition eternally. And what trouble that will be. You have your body, you have your soul, you have your mind, you have your heart, you have the desire. As we were pictured by the rich man who was in there, said that he was thirsty, that they should bring him something to fill. There will be nothing that will be around to help you to satisfy anything that you desire. No, there will be no satisfaction for those in hell. There will be total distress, total pain, total a burden on his soul forever. That's the picture. People are saying that hell, and it will be individual. Each one will bear his own burden in hell. Yes, people will be there, but each one will bear his own pain according to what he has done, according to his rejection of the grace and the mercy of God, especially those of us who have heard the gospel over and over again. Ours, if we do not repent and believe in Lord Jesus Christ, ours will be bitter, because it's like somebody who has been in the company of rich people. He has enjoyed their food, their money, their cars, and now they are all deserted him. And now he doesn't have any company, and now he has maybe moved with people of low class. How does he feel? He sometimes feels ashamed. He wants to hide himself from his friends. And think over again. Someone who have been in church, been done something for the church, been company of believers, sang the hymns, and somehow reformed his life according to the script, the Bible he has read, but at the end of the day, suffering in hell. Sure, should be greater than the one who never attended church, the one who always worshipped idols far away from God. So think about that. So Christ's return will be a day of comfort for believers, but to be a day of extreme terror to sinners. Think about that. So we see that the outcome of Christ's ascension is extraordinary, because it tells us it's going to come again. And it is going to be so much wonderful for us as believers, and it's going to be so terrible for sinners. So, at least, these few things should help us reflect on the Savior as the bright and the morning star, the one who usher in the eternal day, the one who will come, and then all days will be over, because in that kingdom, there's no night there, there's no morning and evening. Christ, God himself, the light of the place, there shall be one day, eternity, enjoying forever. But my question to you is, have you seen this bright and morning star? Have you seen him? Is he guiding you to himself? Have you seen the knowledge about Christ? Have you understood? Have you rested your hope in him? Remember the wise men of the East who went to look for the Lord Jesus when he was born? When they came to Jerusalem, they said that in Matthew chapter 2, "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These were wise men, and they traveled from, in those days, traveling isn't like today. I'm sure they traveled, they started maybe, I don't know how many months. But they've come to worship the Savior and brought him gifts. They came to submit themselves to him. They have seen the Savior. Have you seen him that way? Is he the desire? Is he the one you desire above everything? You desire his forgiveness. You desire that he died in your place, and you want that he will save you. Do you have that desire? Or you want to go on with sin? You want to go on unrepentant? You want to go on rebellion against God, like Herod. Look at how Herod, it is said of Herod. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. While the Savior was born, who was the joy of sinners, laboring, guilty, he was troubled. He wanted to continue in his sin. He never wanted to repent. He wanted to be his own master. He wanted to accept the lordship of Lord Jesus Christ. He was troubled. And then he devised means to even kill the Savior. You see how we are? When we have heard of the good news of the gospel, if we desire other things apart from that, reject the Savior, then our life is cut off from him. We shall have nothing. So who are we? Are you like the wise man or Herod? How is your attitude concerning the Savior and his death for you? How do you see him? Do you desire him to be your Savior and Master? Or are you like Herod, who wants nothing? Yes, he heard it, but he wants nothing. In John chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, we are told, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." There's no name given among men whereby we may be saved, Only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you desire salvation? It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Even them that believe on his name, trusted on his merit, so that their sins will be forgiven them. May the Lord help us and each one of us to see this bright and morning star, that he may guide us to the truth about God and by himself, that all may be wise unto salvation, to come to him, as verse 17 tells us that, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is a test of righteousness come, and whosoever will let him come, to take the water of life, salvation freely, which is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help us. Let's pray together.